Ghostbusters Resurrection is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by
The Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination.
Nerdapalooza, the world's largest nerd music festival, and with the generous support of listeners like you.
For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and to learn how you can support this and other fine Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
Okay. We last left off, you guys had agreed to go on the plane to the UK to visit Ghostbuster International headquarters to help solve the mystery of what happened. So, let's say it's the day of, the morning of, you guys are going to be on your way. Go ahead and pick your cards, what you're going to bring.
Can we just not put the Ecto-1 in the back of the plane and just have it airdrop us?
You can't.
It's like a DC 15. All
right. No, you're taking a civilian aircraft.
I'll bite the bullet.
Okay.
And I'll carry the beach.
No, I want the beach.
You bite the bullet.
We're going to fight for it. You guys would know that other equipment might be available at the Ghostbuster headquarters in England, but this is the only for sure way to know that, to get what you guys want.
Okay.
So you guys were going to leave. Are you guys bringing Tobin, or are you going to leave Tobin?
Bring Tobin.
We could bring Tobin.
Oh my god,
yeah,
I want to
bring
Tobin.
He's going to be in that really uncomfortable carrier.
Yeah, no.
We got to take
him. I'll smuggle him inside my jumpsuit.
Alright, yeah.
I'll just say I'm a
You're not wearing your... You're the only guy wearing the jumpsuit on the plane. He just looks entirely out
of place. I just look real lumpy and paunchy. You're just like...
It's like in Who Framed Roger Rabbit when he sticks him down his shirt and he's walking around. Hey, is that a dog in your pocket? Or are you happy to see us?
That's a dog.
It's a dog. Okay, right, so you're going to bring...
Tobin.
So you're bringing Tobin. You're bringing Nina for linguistics.
Yeah.
I'll stay behind and watch over the firehouse while you guys are gone.
He'll go out on the bus for us while we're gone.
I'll just be like, so what do I do, guys? Like, what happens if somebody calls?
Point and
well, there's only one of you, so you can't cross the stream. So go nuts.
So go nuts, kid. Like, oh, okay.
We get a phone call. You're like, I crossed the streams. I don't know how. I'm so bad at this.
We'll know before that phone call.
All right, so we'll say you guys get to the airport. You check your bags. You do everything. Scan. You go through. They put Tobin in a little carry-on. They're going to put him, you know, on the plane. You guys are going to be flying on a 767.
Really?
Yeah. And it takes about 8 hours to get there.
That's what clock in when we get in the plane. Clock out when we get off. I mean, that's a full work day.
Get a pub and we're good to go.
Yeah. Start tomorrow. So you guys, you're on the plane, you're flying. And around the 6th hour of the 8-hour flight, you start hitting turbulence and a storm. And it gets progressively worse as you're going along further. So it gets pretty bad.
What are our
bad.
Seating arrangements? Are we all like in one row?
You're all sitting together.
Okay.
You I want to sit by the plane because I like watching the propellers spin. That's why I want to sit on the plane.
By propellers means turbines.
Like I said, it's like the 6th or 7th hour, and the storm is getting really bad. And a flight attendant approaches. They've been telling everybody to buckle up because of turbulence. The captain's come on saying it's really bad. But a flight attendant approaches the four of you and is like, the manifest said that you guys are Ghostbusters. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
Can one of you guys... Just no. No, I'm a salesman.
I sell vacuums.
Ma'am, do we look like Ghostbusters?
She asks, the captain has requested to speak to one of you who can come up to the captain.
If his gremlins, I'm going to punch everything.
You got your pants, right? So you just remember your Sharpie in case he wants...
I'll go.
Okay.
I'll go talk to him.
So the storm's really bad.
Yeah.
And lightning and all that stuff. And you go up to the front cabin. Mm-hmm. And they close the door behind you. And the captain, the co-pilot, and the flight attendant are there. You can see out the front window. It's really... It's getting dark. It's like nighttime. Mm-hmm. And the storm's really bad. And the captain's like frantically talking into the radio and everything. And when she announces that you're there, the captain says... you're one of the Ghostbusters that we have on board?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. This sounds really strange. I guess I should just basically tell you, for the past 2 hours, like right around the time that we got into the storm,
yeah.
We picked up an unidentified aircraft, has been like on our wing. And he motions for you to come forward, and if you like you look, you can see out the side. Like off in the distance is a DC-9. And he says that he's been trying to raise them the whole time, but they haven't been responding. and every time that they get close enough, there's like an electrical interference. He's been hearing spooky noises over the radio, and he wants to know if you have any knowledge. Like, is this? He's very scared. He's feeling very uncomfortable. He wants to know if this sounds like anything that you might know what's going on.
I should stick my head back out, I want to shout. And I go, hey, ghost plane.
You're gonna shout through everyone, through first class, all the way through to coach.
Oh, I go, hey
ghost
guys,
plane.
Ghost plane.
Don't panic or anything.
No, I'll walk back and I'll whisper into Pool's ear and go, hey, ghost plane.
I lean over to Wall and I say, most plane.
And then Wall leans over to Josh and says,
I say, toasty grain.
Mike says, that sounds good.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Is that something that stewardess said? That's what she wanted?
Toast grain, yeah.
Toast grain, yeah. Yes, Briggs, yes.
Okay, good, so we all agree. Or I'll just poke Josh and go, ghost plane.
Awesome. Leave me alone, I'm sleepy.
And I did not pack my climbing gear.
Alright.
You'd go up to the...
Yeah, I'll go up and talk to him.
Okay.
I'm with him.
So I guess you might as well join us.
Also, the two, you're going to sit back and just like...
He wants
try
his,
and
he
wait
want,
out wait out through the turbulence.
He wants his toast grain.
It's like, hey dude, hey guys, hang out by the exit doors.
Be inconspicuous.
Just flirt with the stewardesses. Flight attendants, I'm sorry.
Look, stand casual, but don't look like you're trying
to... Exactly.
Hold on, I lean over to the stewardess and I say, so, think we're gonna die?
Is that just a neutral? Are you, you're opening with, so you think we're gonna die? You better roll a damn good seduce roll if that's your opening line.
Well, I was just saying, like, she starts weighing her options, you know, if they are gonna die.
If you're gonna go down, may as well go down
on
the mile high.
Thirty.
Yeah.
Wow. So you think we're gonna die, and she's like, I hope not, but she's suddenly comforted. She's like, but now I really hope we don't. You got her attention for sure. You can't argue with a role like that. Anyway, so you guys get up to the cockpit, and you can hear Captain
Jones.
He keeps trying to raise the signal with the DC-9, which is now kind of pulled ahead. It's not directly in front, but it is like, you know, it's still off to the side, but it is pulled up into head, so it's within view. And he asks, all right, and again, he's just like, okay, so if you take a look, I mean, it's like dark silhouetted against like the sky and everything like that, so it's hard to really make it out. There are no lights, like there's no lights on the wings flashing or anything like that.
Say the captain, how fast are we going?
He says, the normal amount for a plane of this size. Insert correct amount of airspeed here.
So
which
like 400 knots, probably?
If that's a standard airspeed to be going through a storm while you're on your way on a transatlantic flight to England, then yes. But he does say, I've tried increasing speed, decreasing speed. It's been matching us for the past 2 hours.
How about we decrease speed to the lowest possible while still maintaining flight?
Okay. Under normal circumstances, you're not going to give me orders, but considering what's been going on, I'm willing to give it a try.
Okay.
So, I'm
going to make an occult roll to see if I know anything about plane style hauntings in general.
Okay, go ahead.
You know, this whole kind of thing that's been known to happen.
Man, we were in a boat, now we're in a plane. It's gone from bad to worse.
I thought you liked vehicles, Briggs.
I do.
You are aware of plane and aviation hauntings, mostly around like air bases and stuff. There are weird sightings of things like in the Bermuda Triangle, of planes that supposedly crashed, you know, and things like that. You could easily equate this to like ghost ships, but in the sky.
Are there any markings on the plane?
It's very, very dark. It's very hard to see. Like, the captain himself also says he hasn't been able to identify what airline or anything, just that he can recognize that it's a DC-9, but beyond that. They are starting to pick up weird radio signals, though, like as if communication is trying to come through. They've also been able to, they've been unable to raise any radio communication with, like, a ground control or anything like that. So he's also saying that, for the moment, they're cut off from, like, the rest of civilization.
So we're what, 6-7 hours in right now?
We're about 6-7 hours in. With the storm and us slowing down now, we're gonna have to readjust our calculators when we think we're gonna land. But we were about an hour and a half out before I called you guys up here.
So, well, if it's just a weird anomaly and it's not a ghost and that crew's in trouble, I don't want to shoot a nuclear beam into it.
Also, don't want to have to, you know, be
tied on a rope hanging out the side of the exit door with a proton pack firing blindly into a storm.
Into a storm. How fast are we going, Briggs? How fast is this again? 400 knots.
Well, yeah. Well, we would never make you do that. We would make Briggs do that.
Briggs would volunteer.
I will say,
it's true. I actually kind of want to do it.
I will say at this point, the DC-9 in the distance, it starts to move into a bank, like a banking turn. Like it's going to come up in front into the path of your guys' plane. And you guys can see when lightning strikes that there are holes all throughout the fuselage and scorch marks all across the wings. And everything else.
Like, do we have a way to get into the belly of the plane?
The captain, after seeing that and everything, the captain's a little freaked out, but he's like, yeah, I can have one of the flight attendants take you down.
Yeah, we need to get our gear.
Yeah. I've already got one taking me down.
down.
Okay.
Alright, so you want them to escort you down into the...
Yeah.
Okay,
because
so,
our packs are down there too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, all of your equipment is down there. Yeah, as well as Tobin, actually.
Who's probably not having.
We're gonna put him outside first.
He's like the canary that you can yeah, play. Exactly. All right, so you guys go down there. They help find your equipment. So, I mean, are you guys still seated in your seats? And
no, we.
You're joining them.
Yeah.
Okay.
We should probably get Tobin out of the hole too, just in case.
I don't think it would help him. It's
Tobin. Go.
Do dog thing.
Fetch that plane.
Meanwhile, Nina's like, what should I do? Like, obviously very scared with the rain and the turbulence and everything else.
Do you speak static? Because we need that translated.
She's like, no.
I speak, I ask her if she speaks bocce.
No, I would say she should go.
Should go up to the cabin?
Yeah, go up to the cabin, and if anything comes through that signal that sounds legible, let us know, and I'm going to hand her a walkie-talkie.
Okay.
I'm going to hand her mine.
Alright, so you got your equipment. Okay. And Nina's gonna go up to the front, she's in the cockpit with the cabin.
So, go look at it with your ghost goggles.
Okay.
Just, I mean, for, you know.
That's the technical term for my
just
engineer.
For the ghetto goggles.
Go do it.
Alright, well, I guess
just in case, I mean, wait, might find
I'm gonna,
something.
Are you guys gonna stay down in this?
Yeah, while we're down there, I'm gonna search around with the PKE meter to see if there's anything on this plane that would cause another plane to act this way.
Okay. That's a good idea. Maybe there's something that's luring it that we can destroy on our end. Mm-hmm.
So, all right, let me do a wall first. The wall goes up.
Yeah, I'm gonna head back to the cockpit. I'm gonna try to
getting weird looks from
the other
passengers.
Weird looks with the proton pack on my back.
Can you put the goggles on as you come up from the bottom? So the entire time you're walking through the plane, you've just got them on.
Got the goggles.
Yeah, I'll do
on.
That.
Okay.
Why wouldn't you do that?
Let's have a look at this plane. See what we can determine.
Okay. Well, when you go, so you get up to the front. The DC-9 is there. It's like kind of. It's basically right. Directly in front of your plane, and it's still moving in the same direction and everything. So you're really only looking at the tail, mm-hmm. but as you know, you can see the goggles. The entire plane is glowing with energy. There's holes all through it, and just as you're like ready to try and figure out what the hell's you know what else you can figure out from looking at this thing, the plane on its axis does a complete 180 and is now facing the front of your plane, but it's still moving in the same direction.
You guys are still down below in the hole, right?
Yeah.
Grab the walkie-talkie from Nina. I'm like, guys, the plane is flying backwards in front of us.
It's like it's looking right at.
Do I see anybody in the cockpit of the plane?
You can see outlines of what would look like people, but you can't like see them because of how dark it is. But if lightning flashes, you get more glimpses of the plane and how it's basically like a crashed aircraft, you know.
Okay.
But it will start slowly moving in closer towards your plane, still moving backwards, but closing the distance between both your plane and.
Ask the pilot if he has any guns, like built into this plane.
I don't think that's gonna work.
Are there any guns on this 767, like the minigun? The captain has stopped trying to radio it. And he just sort of like drops the radio and he's like, clearly this is, you know, you're not going to talk to whatever this is, but a voice does start to come through on the radio, but it's very crackly and you can't really make it out. So the co-pilot is like, just trying to see if he can raise anything. He's like, you know, DC-9, unidentified aircraft, DC-9, are you receiving? And it just like, it sounds like it says yes. He's just asking like, what is your situation? You know, like what is... And then the radio finally comes through clear for just a moment, just long enough for you to hear the voices. Join us!
No.
They're throwing one hell of a party. So I'll cut back. So now I'll cut down to you guys in the hold. You're gonna do PKE scan.
Yeah, I'm doing a PKE scan.
All right, go for it. You're not picking up anything inside the aircraft.
I know. It seems like we're gonna have to go like
shoot nets into its propellers,
something like that. I don't know.
That's not a bad idea. Sitting its propellers, just like our plane.
And obviously, the propellers are what is making this crashed airplane work.
Fly. Yeah, that's true. Fly backwards.
I will say that you do start to hear screams from the passengers outside.
So, I guess we'll go up top.
All right. When you guys go up, people are screaming and freaking out. They're like rushing to the back of the plane. You had to come up. You had to go down through the back of the plane. So they're rushing up this way. If you try and make your way through, you can see what look like undead stewardesses or flight attendants, whichever the politically correct term would be, running through trying to grab passengers.
Are they capable?
Are any of them female?
It seems that way, yeah. In fact, all of them are female.
So you think we're gonna die?
So you're gonna directly approach the ghost? You're gonna directly approach this female flight attendant?
All right, they look like they're grabbing stuff, right?
They are grabbing, and you can tell that they are getting a hold of people's shirts and like pulling them. Some of them are breaking free, but they are able to physically grab.
Well, if there's one thing I know about stewardesses from the '60s, is that they're not trained in hand-to-hand combat. So I'm just gonna run up. Gloves at the ready, and just punch one and try to drive it backwards down the aisle.
Okay, and I'm gonna assume, let's just say for the sake of argument, that you guys aren't in jumpsuits, but you're in your clothes.
Well, I went down
but,
there.
But, and I, yeah, stuff. I was gonna say, when you put on your equipment, I would assume the gloves and boots are part of it.
Okay, I got the boots.
You got the boots? Yeah, that's right, you got the boots as well.
I got the boots.
So go ahead, just give me your brawl to punch her. And what's your goal is to...
I want to basically just grab one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not gonna punch her. I'm just gonna grab one and just try to freight train her down the aisle. Knocking them all back like dominoes.
Alright, cool, go ahead.
So I'm gonna do this old boy style.
Right now you can see four of them.
Okay.
With a hammer.
Like in a row?
I'll say that there's two in each row, but
oh, okay.
But, yeah.
So I point to Pool, and I give him like a weird hand signal that he won't understand because I just made it up. And then I just rush forward. All right, I'm assuming he's gonna get the idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say you definitely get her right in the face. She's not expecting it. It free try for a second, and then you just grab a hold of the ectoplasmic uniform that she's wearing, and you just run that way, and when she hits the other stewardess, she goes through her, but your gloves just... So now you got both of them, basically,
yeah,
and you run until you tell me you're going to stop.
All right, I run until I push them out the side of the plane.
All right, well, you got a good grip, so with that roll, you do it. Yeah, you definitely, awesome. You definitely throw them out of the plane. Yeah.
Cool. All
right,
then I do the thing where I try to dust my hands, but just goop, and it looks gross.
Sticking, just like...
Alright, I'm gonna spend two brownie points and following LaForge's lead, I'm going to run and.
You can do a bicycle kick.
Flying
and, I was gonna say rider kick. Uh-huh. And rider kick, trying to push.
I'd almost imagine in a plane that you'd be like Bane grabbing onto the seats and like kicking them away.
Oh, that's pretty good. Okay, I run and I grab the two seats in the aisle, jump up, and just both feet.
Okay.
By kick four.
Alright. You kick this one definitely, and it goes. You kick her, and she goes sailing into the other stewardess right behind her, and they just they fall to the floor.
Immediately, what I do is I net both of them.
You gonna net them?
Just immediately net both.
All right, go ahead. Give me your moves. If you're gonna net them, you would hit it. Yeah, you would hit it, and the net just attaches to both of them, so now they're both tied together on the floor of the plane, screaming and freaking out.
They're just gonna grab passengers. Where are you gonna take them? It's an airplane.
As you say that, the ones that you threw out, they come flying back in.
Why do they even have a plane if they can fly? I just give them a look like, come on, what is this bullcrap? I'm gonna bring them over. I'm gonna try to run up to them because like we're at the both Poole and I are near the front of the plane now.
Yes, that's true. Yes.
Okay, and his are on the ground near the front of the plane.
And Briggs is still in the back.
I'm gonna try to see if are they coming right at me?
They're not coming anyone specific right now, but if you want to try and get their
attention. Yeah, I'm gonna be like, hey!
Yeah, okay.
Hey, what would offend a stewardess? It's like, hey, ugly.
That has offended most people. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, hey, uglies, it's like, you want a second portion? Is that what you want? Come and get it, come on.
Okay, I'll say, you definitely get one of them. And she's gonna come at you.
As she's coming to me, I'm gonna try to just grab her and slam her down on the other ghosts while hopefully Poole has a trap waiting.
So you're gonna try and throw her under the pile that you've already got started?
Yeah, I'm gonna try to grab her by any loose appendage and just full on slam her down.
All right. Well, she leaps for you. She's attempting to like to slime you and grab you. You do get her, but we'll say that the ghost die is that she does slime you when you grab her.
Okay.
So you are slimed.
I don't feel very cool, right?
Yeah, you don't feel very cool. Yeah. So your cool is by half because you're not wearing a jumpsuit.
Despite punching ghosts and throwing them out of a plane, I feel pretty uncool.
I mean, you can feel fine, but your cool influence has gone down. So she does slime you.
I go light them up, Pool.
All right, you pick. So you have her in the air, and even though she slimed you, it doesn't seem to have affected you at all. So you take her, and you basically body slam her on top of the other two in such a way that she just phases through the net, and now she's embedded. So it's three in one net. It's going pretty good. The other flight attendant, steward, I should say stewardess, to differentiate between the ghosts and the regular ones. So the other stewardess has grabbed a passenger. Has put her arms around, and then she just vanishes with the passenger. Disappears.
Both she and the passenger.
She and the passenger have disappeared.
Mike, somebody radio Mike. Radio Mike, see if you can move forward. Radio Mike, Poole, what are you doing? Radio Mike.
All right, I use my radio and tell Mike that a passenger was just taken off the plane by one of them. Mike. See what he says. What you see?
Yeah.
What do you see?
We're maneuvering. Is the plane moving?
Okay. Yeah. Let me come back. Let me explain what you've been seeing in the meantime. The captain. You're up there with the captain and Nina and the co-pilot. And the captain has tried moving off, like banking off to the side, yeah. But this thing is just mirrored every step of the way. It's just been mirroring it. There's not even a delay in like it catching up.
Do I see the passenger appear across the way on the other plane?
You do see a flash of energy and the silhouette of a person, but as soon as it's there, there's another flash and it's gone again. So it appeared and disappeared.
You're like, oh, Mike, would you mind looking back here and see if you see an invisible monster?
Yeah, sure. I'll... Okay. We're probably fortunate to have to
meet up. So you're going to leave the cockpit and come back?
Yeah,
okay.
I'll head back.
Okay. Are you guys going to do anything about these three stewardesses?
Can we... I want to bust them.
All right, yeah. I throw a trap down. I can kick them.
Well, if I just grab one, like, a piece of the slime tether that's attached to there, I'll open it up so it's the only opening, and you can just dig around in there with the trap.
Like an ice cream scoop.
You want to go for an ice cream scoop method?
Teamwork, because I'll, like, sit on top of the goo.
I mean, because I was half expecting to open the trap like normal, then just pick up the net and try and drop
that's
it.
That's what I thought, too.
Yeah, but, I think that just seems the best way.
I mean, I will say, with the ice cream scoop method, you're moving this... beep, opens and you're like moving it around.
Yeah.
I don't know if that, I mean, it's your guys' show.
Alright, whatever. Okay, just go ahead and open it. I'll try to see if I can lift these ghosts.
They don't weigh anything.
Right? Oh, okay, well, shut up.
And for half a second, LaForge looks like the strongest man ever.
Right. Yeah, picks up this ball of three stewardesses. You look like Gaston! When you lift it up!
Lately, Poole, I've been thinking.
Dangerous bastard.
I know.
So you open the trap. So Poole opens his trap, and Josh, give me moves.
Pretending to be Gaston while throwing ghosts in the trap just made me think of, I'm especially good at despectorating.
You pick them up and just... they get sucked in, and the slime tether, of rather what's left of it, doesn't get sucked in, but the net just loosely falls to the ground surrounding the trap.
Cool.
I close the trap.
Alright, so you got three in the box.
Ready to go.
Maybe fast.
Maybe slow.
So, Wall, give me a standard, give me your C if you're looking around.
Yeah.
You do not see anything that's invisible up here on this level. You're picking up energy readings below deck.
I'm back towards the back. I could get down there quickly. So
okay. Well, if he tells you, I mean, I'm. You know,
I imagine we're all gonna head down there.
So all four of you are gonna move down.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll be the first one down.
You don't see anything out of the ordinary yet. I'll say that the energy you're seeing is very residual. Like it was in here, but it's not here anymore. It is. It's focused above a large stack of luggage, but the luggage itself is normal. You're just getting a reading as if it bamfed. Like it bamfed in here, and then it bamfed out of here.
What if we grab a stewardess and we make it bamf?
Can we stand in that ship? Or do we just fall through the floor?
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I mean, I guess I'd be the test dummy for that, huh?
I
I wouldn't do it.
Does his hand still look weird?
Through his, the goggles?
Through the goggles? Because, yeah, I mean, with the naked eye, he looks totally fine. Through the goggles, he is glowing, not in the way that he's possessed or anything, but there is a sparkly, tingly glow that has spread. When you last saw it, it was like to his elbow.
You're becoming a vampire.
I will say by now, it is like to his shoulder. It's not in him, it's more like surrounding him. Yeah.
And it just compresses.
Like a boa constrictor.
I'm just like, ah!
But no, it's sort of like an aura surrounding your entire arm. Hmm. You hear Nina screaming into the walkie-talkie that you guys need to get back up to the cockpit.
And I run. I get to use my run.
You run. You run. I'll assume you guys are like right behind him.
Yeah.
Not as well, but. Yeah.
Relatively.
You may have. We're all pretty impressed. You did a good job running.
I did a good job running. Yeah.
Briggs gets to the cockpit first, and when the door opens, all he sees is Nina sitting in the pilot's seat, fighting the controls, and the captain and the co-pilot are gone.
Oh God.
Oh Jesus Christ. I need to assume control.
All right, you can totally get out.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to tell her to get out, and I'm going to drive and fly.
So she'll step aside, and Briggs can take her seat. She lets go of the controls, and she just hops over into, like, the side pilot, like, navigator seat or whatever. You hop in.
I just look at Adam and go, I just want you to know, we're all counting on you. Then I walk out.
So I use 3 brownie points.
All right, you're holding on, but it's taking, you know, you're fighting with it to keep it level, but you are keeping it level right now.
Okay, yeah, so I got this thing.
Okay, so the rest of you guys are, I'm assuming you got to see all that. Nina just says that one of the stewardesses just popped in. Two of them popped in. They grabbed the pilot and co-pilot, and then they were gone.
All right. Oh, well, that's 3 less people we have to save at this point.
I'm just gonna have a look at the other plane and then back down the...
Okay. Just
based on the uniforms of these stewardesses, can we determine anything about the nationality?
They appear to be either, I would say they're British.
Okay.
It's a Brit. It's a, circa 1969, let's say.
Okay. 27, magic number.
All right, cool. Yeah. If you look up to the plane, to the ghost plane that's ahead of you guys, it's still glowing and everything, and you're seeing energy bounces all throughout it. If you look back your way, you're seeing, again, similar energy happening below deck, but you're also seeing energy on either wing, like a little bit.
I'm going to walk down the aisle to one of the wing seats and look out the window.
Okay.
What's out there?
You see...
There's something on the wing.
You see the flaps for the plane inside, like where the, like keeping the flap that would make you go down is black slime surrounding it.
Oh, that's not good at all.
Would our mood slime negate that?
Yeah, but fire would be like pissing in the wind.
Yeah. In a rainstorm. It's like pissing in a hurricane is really what it is. Like.
Oh, man.
And there's that whole outside the plane thing anyway, so. Alright, I'm gonna go out the back with Mike too, and I'm gonna stay in the back near the passengers because I'm worried that they're gonna start bamfing in and they probably maybe even grabbed a couple more.
Yeah, all the passengers have like ran to the back of the plane. They're all crammed in there and they're all very scared and they're all freaking out because they have seen people. They saw that one woman disappear and then they felt the plane dipping down and you guys are running back and forth with this equipment that no one's told them anything, so they're all freaking out.
Before I leave, I open the door and say, I just want you to know, we're all counting on you.
All right. What
I want to wait. So both sticks are being pulled down, and he's having to fight that, right?
Yes.
I say I'm gonna hop down in the co-pilot seat, and I'm gonna help him, and we're gonna try to gain some altitude while we're speeding up.
Okay. Go ahead. Both of you give me muscles.
If we can break this cloud cover,
we might be able to get away from it.
Well, we might be able to see.
Yeah, I'm
thrusters weather or whatever,
I'm throttling up.
And you throttle up and you both pull back and it's an effort, but you do actually start to rise a little bit, and the plane, the ghost plane does seem to stick with you, but the more you just hold on to it and you keep pulling back, it starts to snap free. It starts to actually pull, you're starting to pull away. It's trying to meet you, but it's having a hard time.
And I continue the throttle up.
Okay. And you're going, and it's gonna keep doing that. And
I yell across to him because I don't know where the headset's went. I'm like, what? We gotta figure out what happened to those passengers. We gotta keep everybody from dying first.
Somebody hand us waiver to somebody. Does that cover people?
This isn't the job. We weren't hired to do this.
No, we weren't. You're doing this to save your own life right now. Yeah. Otherwise, this plane's going down. Like, you know,
like we will die.
Yeah.
But, all right. We need to radio Mike and Johnny. Like, people need to get back to their seats, too, because of the weight distribution also.
Okay, you want to have them sort of try and...
Yeah. They need to. That's important.
All right, okay. Yeah.
So go back to your seats. If any ghost stewards come up to you, just let them collect your cups. and
make sure that your seats and its...
Tray tables
up and your seat in its full upright
position. And if I see one of you smoking...
and you have to have slime everyone.
Slime it's, everybody on the plane?
Just
well,
do
that,
it. That
help
might
prevent
help.
Them from
it might, yeah.
That's
yeah,
a
might.
Good idea. All right.
Like, everybody, hey, sorry about this, but you're gross now.
Alright.
If you want to, if you, like, if you want
well, it to... It will also help with their mood.
I'm about to say, do you want to drop the oxygen masks and tell them to put them on, and then they're like, okay, we're coming down.
Alright, you've had worse ideas. Alright, so, all right,
you
Mike guys, and I help escort
both
everyone.
Both of you give me some cool moves and cool rolls. And
each kit. Pull it out.
Give some Smirnoff Ice to everybody.
Yeah. I was gonna say
in-flight drinks are
boom
free.
Box.
Put on the jukebox and just be like, you know, just like happy music. We'll have a good time. We'll have a good old
so
party.
So
all right, so I'm gonna you can go to the beach kit. I'm gonna start in the back and I'm gonna go ahead and just
once everyone sits down,
seats. Everyone's got their seatbelts on so they can't run from my gross slime. and I start in the back and just start.
Are you gonna tell anybody anything? You're just gonna spray him. Like, is it? Not even something to spend my like this will save
I'm
this
going
will
to
keep
use,
you safe.
I'm going to finally use my convince.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to get on the radio on the intercom?
Yeah.
And,
do it.
Use my convince, Vince, that this is a preventative measure. Like in case stewards come back, this will
protect you.
This will make you a little bit more safe.
You convince them to chill out and let this happen.
Yeah. What's Fonzie like?
What's Fonzie like?
Yeah, okay.
We're all
going to
be
200
we're little funds.
We're 200 little funds on this plane! They're all still very scared, but they're trusting you guys. Like, they're very much like, because again, you guys are in command or whatever. Some of them are asking questions just like, why didn't the captain say anything? You know, they're
right. And I just say, trust me, close your mouth, this is going to be gross.
And they do it! They, like, all right, so I'm not going to make you roll for spraying him because you're just going to walk down the aisle. Just, you know... Side to side, sprain everybody. I mean, you do. You coat everybody. You coat everybody in slime.
Oh, he already got the bottom of the ship too. So this whole ship is disgusting.
So while it's going on, I put the headset on and I'm trying to listen for any sort of communication. That way we can get reestablished.
Okay, yeah. You're hearing really scary stuff on the radio from like ghost interference.
Can I, out of curiosity, can I hear anything not ghost like or missing persons?
Actually, you can hear the screams of what seem like normal people.
Can I go like, hey, can anyone hear me? Can you, what, you know, Roger Wilco 6-8.
You don't get a response, but you are hearing what sounds like terrified screams of like three or four people.
Okay, Josh, headset on, please.
Okay.
And I switch on the intercom to Mike to John. I go, John, come up here and just slime me as well. Not the controls, but just aim it at me and hit my bone.
You've
again.
Got a slime pack. It's
but
in
I
my...
have throttles.
I need to do it.
I have throttles.
Have Nina
do
it.
Okay. Nina.
You just have. It's like, Nina, can you grab the slime lower attached to my tank?
Point it the other direction of the way from the sensitive controls.
So she's like standing, she's like leaning on the controls, like pointing
leaning
over. Range in your face.
Basically, she's pointing it into your crotch. She's basically what she has
that's,
to do.
That's okay.
That's the most important area.
Yeah.
Don't let them grab me.
Josh is probably okay in a suit.
I'm probably okay.
Well, I actually know Coat Josh too. Give him a good base coat.
And I hear what Briggs is hearing.
Yes, it's spooky. It's very spooky.
Are they talking to us? Or are they saying the join us thing?
It's a lot of it's in between static is what you're hearing. So it's like in between static, you're hearing ghostly moans and ghostly sounds. But then you're hearing the occasional like, ah, get off me! Like, you know, like creeped out.
So it just sounds like the soundtrack of the Haunted Mansion at Disney.
Not too far off. This is for Nina spraying you. And she does. She does a pretty good job, actually.
Or is this plane getting taller?
Alright.
So yeah, she gives you a good once over on the torso and on your lap, and so you're covered.
Okay, good.
Okay, she'll buckle herself.
Oh, and make sure you slime yourself as well.
She's like, I'm fine.
No, you have no choice.
Alright, at this point.
So what do you tell her?
Do you want to end up on the speaker noise with these people?
She's like, no.
Okay, then you're slimed.
She's like,
we're not asking you to stick a needle
when,
in your
when you tell her that, she suddenly just goes, okay. And she just picks it up. She cuts herself, and she's like, ugh! But she's like, I'm a little calmer now. And then she buckles up, and she's just like, oh, this stinks.
In the back with the passengers, Mike and I at this point have...
You've covered everyone.
We pulled out the boombox, Ghostbusters theme song playing.
Okay.
We're doing the Ghostbusters
down the
dance down the aisles.
Lightning is flickering outside the window. It's like, it's okay, everybody! Like,
we're all right.
It's pretty remarkable considering everything they've been through and everything they've seen.
What I do is I get back on Mike and I ask Mike and John to check the wings and see if there's still black slime out
there. There is. I can just tell you already there is, yeah.
If I'm looking, like, nose of this plane, can I tell whether or not the pilot is just in the pilot seat in the other plane?
Like, the human pilot?
Yeah.
Well, because it is trying to fight to stay up to nose with you guys, because you guys are still, you know, you're still at an incline. Well, like, you're leaning back, looking, you know, and it's... It's trying to fight, but as it peaks up or whatever, you're not seeing human pilots. You're seeing, like, skeleton, dead-face, like, you know, pilots that are very serious-looking. Mm-hmm. I will say, at this point, you do have a couple more stewardesses bamfing in to where you guys are, and they are trying to grab some of the passengers, but it's like they can't, you know, like, as soon as they grab one, they realize they're going around.
I just,
going
like,
from
point, and I just keep laughing. Like, I'm just following behind it, laughing.
Now, I'm going to ask you a question, and I want you to be honest. Did you slime yourself?
No.
Okay.
I've got the boots.
But
damn it,
pool. I've got dodge as my move.
You do. Give me a dodge. Now there's more than one stewardess up here. There's two of them. There's two stewardesses in there now. What? I need to know.
27.
All right. Yeah, she comes lunging, for, like, you're like, ha ha ha, laughing, you're trying to kick her, and it just turns like the library ghost is, you just lean out of the way and just goes right past you.
And then it suddenly dawns on me, and do I have time?
You don't have time right now.
Oh,
you don't have time, because now we're going to get one go for Mike, the other one. All right, she grabs you, and you disappear. You bam. All right.
Shit.
Now,
hey, at least we've got someone on the other side.
Now,
we've got a proton pack over there without having to shoot through the plane.
He doesn't have the walkie-talkie.
No, he doesn't have the walkie-talkie. Now, when you unbamf, you rebamf, you are on the other plane.
Okay.
And there's holes all throughout it. Like, it's exposed to the air. I mean, it's windy and crazy and everything. Seats are, like, you know, shaking and, like, half of them have fallen out and everything like that. And there are other stewardesses and some, not a lot, but, like, some other... dead passengers, and they're all just very, like, you know, half skeleton, half rotted. It's very creepy.
The in-flight movie is Biodome.
That's the worst thing ever. Oh god.
We just hear Mike scream without
the headphones.
I look over at Josh, I'm just like, oh god.
You're torturing him.
From your perspective, most of the passengers are... They're basically, like, they're acting dead. Like, they're not even moving. Like,
they're just comatose.
Just laying dead, jaw slack, just in the seats. And it's very spooky. And the stewardesses have bamfed you there. And they're kind of, like, all shoving you and moving you around. But it's kind of hard to even get your footing because the plane's rocking and everything. Because, I mean, this plane's not supposed to be able to fly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and there's also no lights inside. So you only get, like, you know, lightning flashes and everything like that. They're, like, shoving you around. They're trying to move you to the front cockpit. But in the meantime, I'm going to come back to you guys. And see, you just saw Mike disappear.
I, shotgun in the mouth style, turn myself over. And just, coat myself.
Like, you do that before you even walk you the guys to say what happens. Like, well, that ain't gonna happen to me. You just aim it at the ceiling like a fountain. It comes down on top of you, just, yes. Alright, well, you cover yourself. You cover yourself in slime.
All right.
You wanna let them know?
Yes. I turn towards the other stewardess and fire in it.
Because she's still busy trying to grab, like, you know, other passengers. She doesn't understand what's going on.
You net yourself.
It's a pretty good roll, but it also a ghost.
Yeah, so 13, 13 and a ghost.
You net her, but then the net surrounds the passenger she's trying to grab. So now a passenger and the ghost is netted together. It's like, face to face with this like skull faced stewardess.
And he's like, oh, thank goodness.
I just go, nailed it.
Alright, now do you want to let them know what happened, or are you
going to... Yeah. Guys, Wall is over there. Wall got bamfed.
Oh, good. That's the best news we've had the entire time.
Here's hoping he knows how to backwards fly a ghost plane.
I'll cut back to the ghost plane where Mike is, and they're shoving you like towards the cockpit. The door swings open, and you know, it's not much better than the rest of the plane. It's already, you know, crazy, and you just see the two captains are sitting there, sort of just like in a... To you, it wouldn't even appear that they know that they're dead. They're just kind of doing their thing, and not even really aware of what's going on, like a sort of like a dream state. And, but you're up there, and
the
you're
skeletons,
hearing...
The skeletons, right?
Skeletons.
Yeah, they're like, well, not like clean bone Monkey Island skeletons.
Well, I
like rotted corpse.
I don't know
corpse,
if this was our
like,
pilots.
No.
Have I seen the passengers and the pilots from our plane?
You don't see any humans.
Okay.
You're seeing everyone, like, half decayed and dead and very creepy, like, thriller music video style creepiness. But when you're up there, you are hearing, through the noise, the chatter between LaForge and Briggs.
I mean, I'm in the cockpit. Do I see them from where I'm
Oh, yeah. You can see, from your perspective of this plane, you're seeing the nose of the other plane sort of tipping up. But you, I mean, you know where you are, so
okay.
You know that they're right there. But
that's
going to
be
see
really
them.
Weird for you, because you're leaning this way and going this
Yeah. Trying to do this. Like, yeah.
Is there a radio on the...
There is a headset, yeah. There is a headset.
I very carefully reach for a headset.
Okay. They're almost not even sure that you're there. Like,
okay.
Yeah.
I pick it up. I'm like, LaForge, Briggs, you guys read this?
And they do. You hear them.
Yeah.
Hi.
This is going to be awkward. Hey.
So...
Can you just scratch that for us?
Give me a bro.
What's been happening? What have I missed while I've been not in the cockpit?
Well, Nina gave us some coffee and...
Important details, Briggs. Important details.
It's like, so you didn't see any of the passengers?
No, I haven't seen the pilots. I haven't seen any passengers that they've grabbed. I've seen nobody.
Can we, like, see Mike at all? In the
As the plane tries to match your guys, like, mm-hmm. The nose comes up, and because you guys are steadily going up. The other plane is trying to match you, but it's like moving up and down
like
a wave.
It's like we're in the wave pool, exactly.
Yeah. But when he comes up at the crest at the top, you do see just like Mike through the cockpit, like waving, like, and then he just disappears back under the nose, back up.
What happened to all
down.
The other people?
Mike, how horrible is it there?
It's pretty bad. Everyone's dead.
Yeah, and
there are no survivors.
Now, as you're explaining this, the captains are like dead, moaning, like. Trying to speak to you, but the stewardesses are all like frantically trying to chatter, teeth clacking type thing, and you can't really get a sense of what they want, but they're clearly not happy with you.
Guys, I'll be with you in 1 second. I'm gonna take off the headset. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna take out my proton pack. I'm gonna give that a quick flick on.
Okay.
And I'm just gonna
touch the back the front of it to the back of the pilot's head.
I'm gonna.
You're gonna be Gary Oldman in Air Force One, like. Like...
I'm going to fire a quick shot at the ground,
uh-huh.
And then at the captain's head.
I got you. Okay, so like an intimidation?
Yeah.
Give me a cool...
God, I wish the spy was here.
Put a real serious look on my face.
Dressed
like,
up like
don't...
a ghost.
Like...
24, alright.
Yeah.
So you just go... When you hit, you know, you...
Yeah.
It punches a hole through the floor.
Good.
And just, you know, rain and stuff comes
yeah.
in. And then you just, like, wind blowing.
Yeah.
Very dead serious looking. You just aim it at, with the pilot or co-pilot?
Pilot.
Oh, you aim it at the pilot?
Yeah.
And the pilot, he's, you know, angrily, you know, half of his face is, like, melted.
Yeah.
And then, like, in response, he just hits... He pulls up onto the joystick, onto the stick.
Yeah.
And just tries again to match, like... To like matching up, so now you guys are in your guys' plane. You're still going up. The plane is like trying to. It's basically nose to nose with you guys again in this weird awkward angle.
Cool.
Yeah, and you're leaning forward now because of the extreme. Because if you were nose to nose level, so now you're like this. So now you're like leaning forward with this thing against the pilot's head. And he's just like,
do it. I'm gonna fry the co-pilot.
Okay. You get him, and you have a capture stream. You totally, yeah, you got this guy, and he's just like, you know, flopping around, not
oh.
screaming, but he's flopping around. You have a capture stream on the co-pilot.
Huh. I have a co-strap. I guess I'll roll the trap out.
Okay, you have the trap down. It's on the ground in between between their seats.
Pop it open.
All right, give me pretty good moves to solo trap this guy. I would say you get him. It's like you flip him like out of the boom into the trap, and it's really close quarters. You know, like it's really intense. But yeah, I would say you get it. Trap's still open, but it's. I mean, I don't know if you're going to close it or you're going to keep it open.
Yeah, I'm going to keep the trap open.
So now it's even crazier with this thing open.
Like, I mean, stewardesses are still like coming in through the door.
They're still like they're pulling at you. Like they're like grabbing you, they're pulling at you, trying to get. It's almost like they're trying to grab you.
I'm gonna blast a stewardess.
Okay, go for it. Give me another moves. All right, yeah, you hit them and just like you basically just shove them out. You captured another one. If you're gonna try and are you gonna try and trap it again?
Yeah.
All right. I'll just do it real quick because I need to get back to what these guys are doing. You have the stewardess in a beam and you're flicking her around inside the cockpit and she's kind of putting up a little bit of a fight and you're scorching the controls, you know, all over. But you don't quite get her in, but you do have her in a decent position. But now I'm going to come back to you guys in the regular plane, the human plane. And because now it's nose to nose and it's steady because of what the pilots were doing, you're seeing everything happen from the cockpit. You just seen wall flipping stewardesses with the proton pack and
put the trap open.
Yeah, the trap lights up basically. It basically has the entire cockpit lit up where a dead pilot is still there looking at you guys and kind of ignoring what Wall's doing, but Wall's putting on a crazy show.
I tap Briggs to let him know that I'm getting up. Mm-hmm. I stand up, I unbuckle myself, not in that order, and then I get down to my undies and take off my overshirt and put my gloves back on.
Uh-huh.
And walk out into the fuselage of the plane.
Back down into the cargo area or whatever?
No, into the...
So where I am with the...
To where the passengers are?
Where the passengers are.
Okay.
And I go, okay, I'm about to do something very dumb.
Oh no.
And then I look at the...
So far, I'm like, did Briggs and you switch places?
Yeah, I'm about to point out, Josh said you'd fire me if I ever got nude in public.
He's not nude, he's in his underwear. I'm in my underwear. He's in his underwear and undershirt.
Can I take off my clothes too?
No, you're probably in the damn plane!
So I still have the headset.
Yeah.
And I know I can communicate with the other plane, and I just go, hey Brits, you go chippy in your slippers, and... Shit plane, you're rubbish. And I just flick on my proton pack, and I just wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I've got one still here. What? I've got
one.
There's a stewardess added to this.
Yeah, she's heard that. She's like,
So I wave LaForge over, like, can you help me with this? Because I can't grab her.
Yeah, okay.
Can you
while he's doing that, I'm gonna
tear it off of the...
You're going to try and tear it off of the poor frightened passenger who's been there for the past 2 minutes, like, freaking out? Are you going to try and tear it off of him?
Yeah, I'm going to give her a couple quick shots. Not the passenger, but the ghost. and then I'm just going to try to peel her off the passenger.
Okay, I'll say you do peel her through the slime net, and you get her, but she grabs you, and at the same time, another one's going to appear in the passenger area, so you're going to have two stewardesses. And they're both gonna grab you at the same time. Boom! They're gone and you're gone. And you bam into the other plane and you're there.
Alright. Am I in the same plane as Wall?
Yes.
Okay.
You're just back in the passenger area and it's all crazy,
really,
rickety,
really
and
cool.
I lean down to the passenger and Bill Murray style say, no one's ever gonna believe you.
This person is terrified. Completely terrified.
This is the worst day of their life.
Yeah. No, give them a good coating of slime.
They've already got it. They've already got it. Anyway, all right, so back to now. You remember the description I gave Mike of like how the plane is crazy. It's even more crazy now because it's lost a co-pilot and its mayhem is going on up in the front.
And I can see up at the front where all the stewardesses are. Right. I can see Mike. Over all of this, I'm going to try to yell to him. Mm-hmm. Pull up your socks.
What? Oh, yeah. That duck.
All right, and I'm going to boson dart into the group of them.
All right.
Oh my god.
You have a clear shot straight into the cockpit. You boson dart and sails through the air straight into the cockpit, and you nail just one of the stewardesses, and there's a boson explosion as expected, you know. But when this happens, this is also in semi-ectoplasmic plane, you explode the front cockpit to the point where half the ceiling and the windows in the front and half the control panel just gone. They're gone. And the wind is ridiculous because now it's an open cockpit, you know, Wall's there against,
like,
clinging on to, like, I guess a safety belt that's, like, there from a navigator's seat, and the stewardesses are sucked out, and the pilot is trying to hold on to the control, but he's sucked out, he's gone. And this plane now just dips tail. It's still going backwards, and it's starting to dip now. The tail end of the plane is now going down much faster now. There's no pilot, no control panel, no anything. So now the human plane...
So there are no controls whatsoever.
No. The human plane is basically still going up, but a little bit less so because it doesn't have that counterbalance in the ghost plane. The ghost plane is now tail first. It's still going backwards, matching speed, but tail first is dipping down, and it's like a 45-degree angle facing up.
Can I Josh has radio, can I radio him?
I don't have it.
He doesn't have anything. No.
There are no radios left, I'm assuming.
Yeah, and now as the tail end is going down, Mike, you're up in the front. You know the rain is hitting you now and like all the craziness. So I'm assuming you're going to get the hell out of there. Like,
just trap and grab it real quick.
Okay. Yeah. You can do that. And are you gonna move back into the like the fuselage?
I grab onto Mike because I'm sure it's hard to hang on things. I say, you know how to land this thing? And I go, hey, I got an idea. I haven't seen the other passengers though.
I haven't either. They're nowhere to be found.
So this probably isn't going to work, but I'll try anyway.
What are you going to do?
I look at one of the undead passengers who's just sitting in a seat, and I just jump at him and grab him and just squeeze him as tight as I can.
Okay. Okay, give me a moves only because of the ridiculousness of what the plane is going through right now and the fact that there are holes everywhere, including the floor. You don't want to step into a hole, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I see this happening.
From your point of view, the plane is just sunk down out of view. You don't really see what else is happening. There's, you know, like oxygen masks and other crazy stuff flopping around in the wind and everything, and you leap over a couple holes and you see that, you know, your target, this is this ghost who's in the passenger seat, and you leap and you grab him and you squeeze as hard as you can, he goes,
and that's all that happens.
Okay. So I think it's safe to assume that the passengers have not become they have not become ghosts that are sitting in the chairs.
Now, a couple more stewardesses are coming out of the back angrily.
Okay.
Alright, so they're coming for you. Are you gonna do anything or what are you gonna do?
Well, the forge is currently like standing like
making out.
He's like trying to give him the Heimlich maneuver, but from the front. He's like, come on, do it!
Do the magic!
So slap.
Well, I'm gonna fire a warning shot. I'm not gonna try to hit him, but I'm gonna at least.
While he's doing that, I like go up my dude and just run down the aisle, arms flailing.
Well, you don't really have to run too much. I mean, it's like this.
Yeah.
You think you just let go.
Now you are Bane, and then the airplane is like. So, all right, you're just gonna try and just go for the closest one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, give me moves just to make sure you don't fall out of a hole. You don't go exactly where you want to go because you're sort of like letting gravity pull you down, you know, and you bounce off a couple seats, you know, and you don't end up grabbing her, but you end up like falling backwards onto her, but she grabs you.
And I look at Mike as she says, she does this, I go, they expect one of us in the wreckage, brother.
You bamf out, you're gone. And Mike is now back alone in the plane. Like you bastard.
I love that he came over in his underwear, literally showed up with,
I don't know why,
BAM!
I don't know why, but I'm picturing LaForge in like 1950s, like, you know, the white undershirt.
Gentleman.
Yeah, like, with boxers. He's got like the sock suspenders on, like, with the boots and gloves, and a proton pack.
I'm Dexter's dad.
Yeah. Alright, we'll cut to LaForge. He bamps and you are in a very closed in, very dark space. It feels like there's just luggage piled on top of you. And like you're on this plane and it's not long for this world at this point.
I am sick of these motherfucking ghosts on this motherfucking plane. I make my way down the aisle because there's another stewardess.
Yeah,
there,
she's coming for you. Yeah.
She's coming for me. That's fine. I will let her grab me.
All right, cool. Give me a move to make sure you don't fall out of a hole.
God, please don't fall out of a hole.
Now, question of etiquette: as she comes to me, do I give her the crotch?
19.
Yeah.
You know, she's still at the other end of the plane. The tail end is down. You're up towards the front of the plane, so you can basically let go.
Yeah.
And you sail into her like Keanu Reeves and Patrick Swayze. Just boom! And you grab her, and you just hold on to her, and she's...
Wait, as I grab her, I want to real quick, like, just behind her at the plane, like, towards the back of it, boson dart.
Give me standard, just a standard moves.
13 and ghost.
Yeah. I'll say so. Yeah, you grab her,
yeah.
And you got the Trono wand, and you aim it back, and you fire. But instead of a boson dart, it's just a standard proton stream. But as you bamf out, you'll like cycle like backwards, and you just zipper the rest of this airplane.
And the stewardess is like,
you gotta drop the Neutrona wand if you want to pull the back.
You want that stewardess so bad, it's like acid in your
mouth.
It's
like acid in your mouth. Yeah, she bamps you out of there, and you find yourself in a closed, dark, like you can barely move. Like, you're totally surrounded by what feels like a heavy weight of luggage.
We're gonna bust a jerk off.
LaForge! Anybody?
And you can hear him. You can hear Mike yelling.
I say, yep, that's me.
Okay.
So now, from Briggs' point of view, you can't see when they bamf in or out. All you see is a proton stream just literally come through the fuselage, just like lengthwise, cut this plane half, and it just disintegrates and falls apart like half, two halves.
I get on the speaker and I go, cool. I think Josh and Mike are dead.
You're on the walkie? On the walkie or the...
Oh, I'm just on the...
On the intercom?
I like rock back and forth to see how much heavy... Yeah.
Now, you guys, about. You've heard all of that. Good.
Don't you dare look at this thing!
Alright, so both you guys give me muscles. See if you can bust out of where you are.
I'm worried about the other passengers.
You know now for sure it is luggage, because you start banging, like, you know, trying to bang out of wherever you are, and it's just piles of luggage are stacked on top of you. Your legs are still, like, under a lot of weight, but you do see that you are inside the baggage area of your human plane. And there's slime.
Everywhere. I'm hollering to see if anybody even comes and looks.
You see Mike pop up, not too far away from where you are. It's like a mountain of luggage is where you guys are poking out from. But if you're gonna, so you were hollering as.
Yeah, I wanted to say, where the pilot? Can you hear me?
Yeah,
you're
hearing him.
I'm trying to swim my way over to him.
Okay, give me some moves for both of you. You guys both hear where one guy's screaming, and you climb over, and you're out, and you're free again. But it's very slippery because of all the slime and everything. Yeah. And you start digging, and you do find a large, like a very, very large suitcase. You unzip it, and sure enough, one of the pilot is—it's the co-pilot. He's just like, so he's in there, and he's terrified. He had no idea where he was or anything, so he's definitely relieved to see you guys. And he's just like, "Get me out of here!" And so, I mean, I'm assuming you guys are
gonna like more than myself. I'm just yanking him out of there, trying to get him on his feet.
Okay, yeah, you shove him out of there, and he just slides him down like this mountain of luggage, and he starts.
Imagine Tobin's just watching this going.
Yeah, Tobin's at the back of the plane. He wasn't really covered in slime, but he's seeing it. The co-pilot, he runs up. Through everything, he runs past pool and just goes into the cockpit, and he gets into the co-pilot seat, and he's gonna look over at Briggs, and he goes like, "What the hell are you doing here?"
He's like, "I'm doing pretty good, thanks."
Get out of the pilot seat!
I'm just saying, if it wasn't for me.
Get out of the pilot seat!
Fine.
Okay.
You could be a little nicer about it.
He's trying to save everybody. Please, would be nice.
I in the meantime, see the co-pilot, and I come down.
You see them covered in slime grease from slipping all over these packages looking for the pilot.
And I'm just like, all right, I run and I just dive. I don't even know what they're trying to do. I'm just like...
Yeah, 22.
Right. With the 22, I'll say that you find a bag that you're hearing whatever. Yeah. You guys have it, and it's the pilot.
Cool.
So you get him
the hell back up where he needs to be.
He climbs up, he runs past you, he's like, thank you, and he just runs up back up to the front of the plane, and make sure Briggs gets out of the... Or at least out of he's gonna make sure that you're out of the seat, and he's gonna get back in the seat. And they're gonna try and take control.
Having seen the co-pilot run by and seeing them digging and them find him, I go over to Tobin and I open his cage to have Tobin help us find the last missing person.
And he's gonna, what are you gonna say, Tobin?
Yeah.
Fetch or whatever. Like, yeah. He just barks and he just dives into some of the luggage and he starts like rummaging through and everything, and you see him like emerging. From the bags, he did
with a bone.
Yeah, just like... there was a ghost eye involved, so I'll say he's pulling at like straps of a bag, where a handle would be of a very large bag, and he's just pulling at it like he can't. It's too heavy for him to really pull, so he's definitely found something.
I stroll down casually, whistling, going, "Oh, what are you guys doing?"
Are you back into the luggage area?
He like tried to high five the pilot as he runs by, and he just ignores him.
That's like no respect.
Look, we're all pilots now, aren't we?
Both of us have flown a plane today.
So he finds a bag. Are you gonna? I'm assuming you're gonna open up. You open up, and there's a, yeah, the passenger's in there, but she's very, you know, scared, you know, was like run out of breath. She's like half conscious, basically, at this
so
point.
So you think we're gonna die?
Worked before. All right, so I'll say at this point, the pilot and the co-pilot are back up there. They're gonna level the plane out. They're gonna try and get us through the storm. They seem to have everything under control at this point. It's not like completely back to normal. Tensions are still very high. Everyone's still kind of freaking out. I'll say at this point, Nina's probably gone back into the cockpit because that's, now the pilots are both in there. She calls for you guys to come back up to the cockpit.
We follow. Here we go.
The pilots still look very scared and very nervous. And they tell you, okay, we're going to be landing in probably about 20 minutes. There's still a problem with this stuff that's on the wings, and we think some is leaking to the engines.
I want to take a look at the stuff on the wing.
They are coming out of the storm. Mm-hmm. So it is a little bit more clear now. You can now go to the window and look through, and you can get a pretty good view because the, you know, lights are still blinking and everything, mm-hmm. and the other lights are coming on. You can see that the black slime is still around. It's, like, in the flap. It's not preventing it from going up or down, but it's, like, in there, you know? Mm-hmm. It's, like, definitely, like, it's almost, like, greased it. And you do see some spill trails that are leading down onto the engines and maybe going into the engines. As of right now, they're just going to try to land it as is. But he just doesn't know what effect any of this is going to have.
Okay, I say, that's fine, and I'm going to spend 6 brownie points.
For what?
Murphy's Law.
Okay.
Which is a new thing.
Oh, that's your...
Yeah.
I'll say, so you guys are going to wait patiently, and you just say, that's fine. And then these guys are looking at you like, why is that fine? Captain's like, all right, let's do this. So
I get my slime.
I'm feeling lucky.
All right.
I give it to you for a reason.
Okay. So now you're over land. The airport's in sight. He's already ready to win. There's an emergency landing. Everyone's prepared on the ground, ready to go. Plane is acting kind of a little weird. You know, it's a little hard to handle. But now this is pure pilot right here. This is
Denzel Washington.
All right, there's a ghost eye. So this is his approach. He goes, all right, we're making final approach. If you guys are going to buckle in, now's the time to do it. And you're, all right, go ahead and give me your roll, what you're going to do.
16.
So the pilot, he's struggling with the controls a little bit, and you're seeing the runway kind of, you know, swaying a little bit like this, and you're approaching, and sure enough, just as he's about to lose control, landing gear comes down. The slime kind of falls away from the engines. He makes touchdown, and the slime just sort of leaves a trail behind the plane a little bit. But once the wheels are on the ground, it's steady, and it holds, and he lands very smoothly and safely. Almost like a textbook landing. You know, takes off his headset, and he's just like, oh. It's like, I don't know what happened, but we got lucky. We got lucky at the end there, so...
Thank you.
He'll say thank you. He'll say, guys, thank you. I mean, we couldn't have landed this without you guys. I'm still struggling at what to think of this whole situation. Meanwhile, fire trucks are all pulling up. You know, emergency things.
And you see the world's happiest passengers. Who are even happier because of the slime.
Yeah, they're all very happy. So they open the side door with the inflatable, you know, little slide that goes down, and they start getting everyone out. And
everybody's having the best slide.
slide. I will say that as more and more people go down, the last people that are really enjoying themselves because of the slime residue. But yeah, everyone's accounted for. Captain is gonna be the last guy out, and he's escorting you guys out. So he says, all right, guys, just be careful on your way down, and we'll deal with the fallout of this afterwards, but let's just get off this damn plane.
Gladly.
So you do, and Tobin's with you guys. You know, I'm guessing one of you, Carrie Tobin, slid down. Police, you know, news. Everyone is trying to figure out what's going on.
There's obnoxious sirens that are here.
Well, there's police officers there that want to debrief you guys and try and figure out what happened.
We should probably...
But the captain is basically stepping in and saying, look, I'll explain it. You guys can go. You don't have to deal with this. We owe you guys.
Well,
you know.
Neutral. We need to neutralize the black slime.
It's basically off. It's basically hit the ground. I mean, again, you think you see a lot of similarities. This sounds very similar to, like, early reports in history of ghost ships at sea. Similar situations of ghosts trying to kidnap and make them part of the crew and stuff. So this sounds traditional, with the exception of now it's just in the sky, okay. above the Atlantic Ocean. It's like early morning now. I'd say it's probably like 4 a.m., 5 a.m.
Hold on, am I allowed to ask what the Murphy's Law thing was?
Well, you can. Yeah.
Can I say why was
you
that?
Just say, hey, you can be like, hey, Josh, you were very calm.
Yeah.
Like, what's up?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know. I just felt good about it. I felt like we were gonna make it. I don't know how to explain it better
than
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on. I look at Mike and I just go.
just give him a knowing glance.
As we're leaving, I look at the stewardess that I previously asked if we were going to die, and I wink and say, the answer was, not when I'm around.
You want to roll on that?
Sure. Well, it's not my goal anymore, so I'm just being ridiculous.
She just kind of goes, ooh. All right. Do you guys want to stick around, or you want to head to the Ghostbuster headquarters of England?
We got two smoking traps. We should probably
find a taxi.
Yeah. All right. When you guys get there, there were arrangements made for you guys to meet the two officers in charge of the case. It is still a crime scene there, but they did know that you'd be arriving at like 4 or 5 o'clock in the morning. So by the time you guys get there, you get into a taxi and you drive out there. It's probably like, 6:30, 7 o'clock. So you pull up, it's early morning, and, the sun's coming up and everything, and you walk in and you're covered in, slime and everything else. I mean, you got your traps ready. There is a police tape off the front. The Ghostbuster headquarters of England is much bigger than your guys' firehouse. It seems to have, like a four-car garage, like a four-engine garage, basically. Maybe a really old firehouse back in the day. Across the street is a pub.
Of course.
Yeah, of course. Well, I mean,
every street is a pub.
Yeah, well, you guys knowing the International Ghostbusters would know that they would probably prefer a spot with a pub across the street. So you guys go in, you guys approach, the caution tape, the police tape is up there. There's a lot of police officers inside, all just doing investigating, looking for clues and everything. But the thing that surprises you is when you go inside, the entire office, everything inside the headquarters has been turned upside down. The papers are everywhere, tables are knocked over. It's like somebody ransacked the entire place. And you have the two officers in charge, Sergeant Guy and Inspector Faber. Sergeant Guy, he's in his 30s. Inspector Faber is like late 50s, maybe early 60s. He seems very serious, and he's just like, right then, let's bring you up to speed. And he starts explaining that they were reported missing about a day ago. And when the officers arrived at the scene, it was like this. So someone has gone through before they got here. The reason why they wanted you guys to come in is because there's a lot of technobabble. There's a lot of stuff in these things. They have no idea where to begin. They started trying to catalog everything as best as they can, but it was all out of order, all spread all over the place.
Where do they keep their luggage?
Well, I mean, their living quarters are over here if you want to go check it out.
Like, yeah, these men could be starving to death in some luggage somewhere. I just don't want to leave them.
There's no luggage. The lockers are all open. Again, it's like someone has gone through, mattresses just flipped up. I mean, someone was in here searching for something.
I'm going to try and locate their gear. Proton packs, slime blowers, ghost traps.
Their standard gear is missing. Like I said, there's like a four stable garage, basically. One vehicle is missing.
Okay.
Three vehicles of different types. There's one that's more sporty, and there's one that's more like for town and country and everything else. Those have a trunk, the hoods are open, the boot is open, you would say, and some of the engine parts are missing, scattered around, like they didn't want anybody going anywhere. You're checking like for the equipment section, like where there like a workstation is. You do find blueprints for a dark matter generator.
Okay.
With some parts laying around. You also find a lightly damaged proton pistol. It doesn't seem operable at the moment. You find like an incomplete thing that resembles a boson cannon. And also you find one complete ready-to-go slime grenade with plans for more.
I want to get on the phone and I'll start delegating. I say, Poole, I need you to find out their call log and who called them recently and who they called, like through the phone company. Mm-hmm. Adam, find out if you can put these things together and finish them. And
don't
Wall,
put any strange rings on.
Wall, find out who funds this. who brings this much money into these guys? Because we need a piece of that action. And I... And I'm going
to take a nap.
I'm going to get on the
phone. You're going to supervise and go take a nap.
I'm going to get on the phone with the airline company for who we flew. Well, and I'm going to tell them that the Ghostbusters just did them a major solid, but their lives were put in a lot of danger. We have an excellent legal team at our disposal. However,
cut to me in the firehouse. Yeah, playing Space Invaders.
We have an excellent legal team at our disposal for ghost-related. Ghost-related incidents, but I'll tell you, things will be a lot easier if you let them know that your airline is protected by the Ghostbusters for a nominal fee.
Okay, and Nina, in the meantime, she's going to start speaking with some of the other officers who've started to collect and catalog everything. She's going to start looking over, because there is, aside from technobabble, it is in other languages, because they do service, most of Europe. So she's going to get started on that. Tobin is just going to sit and find a nice little shady spot and start to chill out, because he's had a rough day too.
I guess I'll start going through...
Playing alone is a rough day for a dog.
Now, the inspector and the sergeant... The inspector ranks the sergeant, so the sergeant's sort of following him around and like taking notes from him. The inspector, he just wants to know what you guys think of this so far. Did they contact you at all before they disappeared? Do you have any idea what someone might be looking for, that they would trash this entire place? And why in the world are those traps smoking right now?
I put a glove on my hand. Just one. Immediately.
Okay.
Like,
Michael Jackson,
like they would
one
question
glove?
The existence of a ring.
Well, no, and I'm working over a tool shed.
Traps, did he mean ours?
Yes, your traps.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, while I'm working, I obviously, there's probably work gloves over there. I just put them both on. I'm just like...
Okay, yeah, that's fine.
All right, I guess... Real quick, before I make my phone call, I grab Walt's trap and I go find their containment grid. What's the status of their containment grid? Is everything secure there?
Give me a brains roll. Because it is different. It is different from your guys' containment grid. It looks much bigger.
But I had brains.
Who the hell is funding them?
Yeah, you know how to operate it because it's basically the same idea. Do you want to just put them in?
Yeah.
Okay, so you put in one and then you put in the other and, you know, light's green, trap is clean. But then when you do this... You hear the containment unit make a strange noise, like a power fluctuation almost, and then you can look over to like one of the meters on the side, and you see that the backup battery, if it were to go offline, is almost empty. But you're still on main power, you know, like you're still on like that.
I go up and relay this to Briggs.
Okay. So. Is there anything else you guys wanted to? I mean, the detective's here. The detective's here. He's ready to talk to you guys. He's trying to figure out. He's trying to share what little information he has. But again, there was. A lot of international calls were being made.
Yeah, that's part of what I was doing anyway, so I'll touch the detective and...
I'm going to go, because when he tells me that's clearly more important, stabilizing the grid.
Okay.
And I'm going to go see Nat about fixing and repairing it.
Okay, and while you guys are talking...
It'd be fun, Tron.
Yeah. So the three of you guys then are going to be talking to the inspector. He's basically saying, yeah, they had a lot of international phone calls were made. They're not really sure what was going on. The disappearance was reported... by the Ghostbusters of New York, because they didn't make it. They didn't make like a quarterly report. They didn't make any reports or whatever. So no one's really entirely sure for exactly how many days they've been missing, but they've been reported missing. This is like day two. And at that point, you're gonna hear another power fluctuation and the lights all throughout the firehouse are gonna flicker out for a second. They're gonna come back on and you're gonna hear the containment grid sound the alarm to say that it is now on battery power. And you look at the meter and give me a brain tool. Ghost die, and what do you get?
17
on a ghost. You look at that, and you instantly know there are 3 minutes of battery left before this containment grid shuts down.
Okay.
And we're ending that tonight.
No!
I may actually let you hook your proton back up.
That's exactly that was literally the first thing that went through my head.
Well, I know how to do this. In theory.
Ghostbusters Resurrection is brought to you by a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of listeners like you.
That means we rely on you to keep us in business by telling a friend, reviewing us on iTunes, or making a contribution to our monthly support drive.
And if you act now, you can take advantage of our special half-price service plan.
Whoa, hold on. Half-price? Have we all gone mad?
I guess so, Briggs, because that's not all. Tell them, Bull.
Oh, you mean if you donate even $1, you get access to exclusive Nerdy Show content and cool perks?
That's right, and you can subscribe to all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via the iTunes Store.
So don't wait another minute. Make your supernatural problem our supernatural problem.
If you'd like to report a spook, specter, or ghost, call us at 321-209-2020.
You can follow us or The Nerdy Show on all your favorite social networks.
We're ready to believe you!
I'm haunted by a slimy, gross monster. Whenever it comes near me, I get covered in slime, and then I have to take a shower. And sometimes when I get out of the shower, I get slimed and have to